Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. This is episode 242. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
Well, that's pretty good. We had the stomach bug hit our house this week, so that was fun. I'm still surviving somehow, but yeah, when a two-year-old, I guess, brings that home from school, it's pretty brutal, but I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that I do not get it. My wife is sick right now, so yeah, so I'm the lone survivor right now, and just going to hold out that I don't get it, because that there's nothing worse. Like, I think that's probably the worst, especially having a two-year-old that's sick. So, yeah.
Sure is.
Enough of that. We're here for baseball, so it's good to get an escape from everything going on in the house right now.
That is rough when they start going to, like, obviously daycare and then school. It's I think school's worse. Obviously, there's much more kids at school than there's at a daycare. So, yeah, that's always the toughest. But, you know, let's just hope you didn't jinx yourself. Knocking some wood. Don't need. Yeah, that sucks when the entire family's got it. That's always rough.
So. Yeah, for sure. But Hayden's better at least. So I was nervous that we'd all get it at the same time. That would have been like the absolute.
I know
worst,
I've been through that. That is that's absolutely the worst.
Yeah.
But man, it's our last episode during the 2023 regular season. Feels weird. But hey, at least we got. What, about 4 days out from AFL games starting up on, I believe, it's the 2nd, I think it is. So we get that to look forward to, and obviously postseason baseball as well. But, you know, it's weird. You know, fantasy seasons are done in, you listen to this on Friday, so you get 3 more days of fantasy seasons, whether you're in, head-to-head in the playoffs or a roto or points, whatever. Everything's wrapping up. So, but a fun season, but obviously, we don't slow down here in the postseason or the offseason. Dynasty prospects, so many to talk about. So we will drop down to, I think this will be the last week of 2 episodes for a little bit.
we'll drop the one at least for like October and probably November, but we'll see. And then December, once we get into, like, you know, our rankings episodes and all that, we'll be back up to two or maybe even three, getting closer to the next season. But we are finishing up our minor league awards today. You know, we did the National League earlier this week. If you missed that, go back and check that out. That was a lot of fun. Now we hit the American League, which was not quite as star-studded, but still got a lot of fun prospects to talk about. But before we do, let's get the usual housekeeping out of the way. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClay. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at ToolshedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, DynastyDugout.com and ToolshedFantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty prospect and FYPD rankings. Now, I just finished up my last Dynasty rankings of the season. Chris is starting to go through his last prospect rankings of the season, so go check all of that out. We greatly appreciate the support. All right, we're going to go alphabetical again, starting with the Baltimore Orioles. And we noticed there was a few of these teams that didn't have a lot in terms of, you know, big seasons in the minor leagues. And there's a few that had like a lot of big seasons, you know, Baltimore being one of them. Many deserving guys, but I think we all know who the pick is here.
Yeah, and that's, it's weird to think about the fact that any other org could potentially have, like, if some of these guys were in other orgs, they would easily win, basically, is what I'm saying. But Jackson Holliday, who was Baseball America's minor leaguer of the year, I think that Holliday has been, you know, one of the consensus best players in all the minors this year. What he did was just pretty insane. When you think about the fact that he moved from single A all the way to triple A this year, 125 games, he slashed 323, 442, 499, which is pretty nuts. He had 12 homers, and I think that's where some people may be questioning, but he had 24 stolen bases, 9 triples, and 30 doubles. So just ridiculously good power and like extra base power, at least that we saw. And honestly, like under the hood is pretty good too. Like I think some people think that he probably doesn't have, he's not that, I think that's the biggest question. Like what kind of power do we see him ultimately get to, like from a home run standpoint? But I could advocate that I think that Jackson Holliday ultimately ends up being at least average game power. We know the field hit is rather impressive. The contact skills are there, but he ran a 91 mile an hour average exit velocity this year, which shows that, and there's some juice in the bat, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. Like I still believe that he's going to get to that power. You know, the ninth percentile exit velocity was about, you know, league average. It was, I mean, especially for his age and body, I mean, he was a little over 102, which you obviously like to see that. But man, I just think that Holliday's a special talent. He's 19. His body still has room to fill out and grow. And ultimately, I think he's just going to be a superstar. And I think he's going to be up the beginning of next year. And with that Baltimore team competing for a spot in the shortstop spot, I think it's legit possibility that he wins that. So Jackson Holliday with the Baltimore Orioles was an easy pick, in my opinion. Yenny, I'm assuming you went there as well.
I did, yeah. I mean, you got to look at Kobe Mayo at least a little bit there. And obviously, you know, Colton Cowser had a good year too. But yeah, you got to go with Holliday. And I feel like, you know, what we're talking about with Holliday now, it's like some of the questions that you brought up, you know, about where does he get to with the power. I think we had a lot of these similar conversations about like Wander Franco a couple years ago. Like obviously the hit tool was, you know, out of this world, potential to win batting titles. But like, you know, like that's kind of like, well, where does the power and speed end up? And then that's obviously what we're talking about here with Holliday. And that is a reason why, I mean, I think that, you know, he'll grow into more power, obviously. He's not done filling out or growing at 19. That'd be very rare to see. But that is why I did drop him out of my number one spot. But he still had no doubt, you know, like that top tier for sure. And probably, you know, you could make a strong argument he's like the safest one out of them all, out of any prospect in the minor leagues. And that's really kind of insane to say, given that he's 19 years old, then started the year in single A. So yeah, very safe profile, arguably one of the safest. He's got the extra base pop. Is he going to be a 30 home run guy? No, probably not. But could he get up into the 20s? Absolutely. You know, with 20 plus steals as well, super high average, super high OBP, was one of a few teenage minor leaguers to have over 100 walks this season. I think there was, three total, and he was one of them. So, yeah, you got to go with Holiday. You know, honorable mention, Kobe Mayo. Samuel Basalo had a very good year as well. You know, Colton Cowser had a solid year. But, yeah, it has to be Jackson Holiday here for the Baltimore Orioles. Going over to my Boston Red Sox here, and this one was tough for me. I mean, the highest ranked prospect for the Red Sox is Roman Anthony right now. He has surpassed Marcelo Mayer, who I still think is a nice buy low this offseason. But for fantasy MVP prospects in this org, I'm actually, this was tough. I was on the fence. I'm actually going to lean over to Sadan Rafaela. And you look at what he did, a little bit of a slower start to the year, but finished with 22 home runs, 37 doubles, and 37 stolen bases. And, this is a guy that I've said it before, like I think his profile fits Fenway very well. He gets that pull side pop. He elevates. So I think, we've already seen a little bit of that, with him up with the Red Sox. I think he's get a lot of doubles off that monster, get some home runs over it. I think he could be a 20 homer guy at peak, and he's going to run wild. He did get caught 14 times this year in 51 attempts, which isn't terrible, but do want to see him be a little more, efficient on the base pass. But, this guy's a hit for, there's obviously some questions too about, his aggressiveness. That's always been there, but I think the contact sales will be solid enough where the average won't crater. Maybe he's only like a 260 type of guy. It won't get on base a whole heck of a lot either, just because he never had a high walk rate, but guy that could, run into 20 home runs, 30 plus steals, score a ton of runs in the process. So this was really tough. Roman Anthony, very, very deserving, but I will lean Sadan Rafaela here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I went with Roman Anthony, but like you said, Anthony had a great year, but his great year really began when he moved to Greenville. Like, he was fine in Salem in single A, but Anthony really took off with the move to Greenville. Rafaela, upper levels, went to the majors. Like, he's been really good all year.
Yep.
And despite the aggressive nature of his profile, like, he's shown that he can perform regardless. And I was really nervous about that chase rate over 40% for multiple years, but he's just made it work, which has been really awesome to see. So you went Sadan Rafaela. I went with Roman Anthony. The White Sox, you go a million ways. It's really tough. I will say their best prospects ultimately did not play most of the year.
Yep.
And so for that reason, like, I didn't take Colson Montgomery. I didn't take Noah Schultz. I didn't take Brian Ramos because they didn't play for most of the year. And while all those guys are ranked higher than this person that I'm taking, I just felt like ultimately that Wilfred Veras is ultimately the one that was deserving of my vote. He played the entire year, 130 games, in which he slashed 286, 325, 466, just below us, 800 OPS, 790 there. He hit 17 home runs, stole 24 bags, had 39 doubles and two triples. So it was a really good year. But I think if Colson Montgomery, if Brian Ramos or Noah Schultz had played a full season, then we're likely easily talking about them, and you may have put them. Like, I wouldn't fault you if you chose one of them for your answer, but I just took Veras from the standpoint of that he played the whole year. He got better in Double A as he moved up. He looked good in High A. I saw him this year in High A several times, and I really liked what I saw. He's a fine prospect. He's not on the level of the other guys we've talked about, but this is an org where it was kind of a challenge. So I'm curious who you took here.
This was a tough one. Like I said, there was no name that just immediately stood out to me. Like, obviously, like you mentioned, the big names just didn't play enough. Like, you kind of would want to go Montgomery or Nola Schultz, but they played the kind of under half a season, respectively. So I looked at Veras as well. He was kind of one of the ones I was strongly considering. I ended up going with Jose Rodriguez, and I don't love it at all. And I'm not even like a big fan of the profile. There's solid power, not great power here. He did have 21 home runs in 493 plate appearances, average EV a little bit over 90 miles an hour. So that's decent, but I don't, that 20 walks to 108 Ks, not great. So this is a guy where, there's a nice little power speed blend here at 31 steals this year as well in the upper minors. But I got to wonder just like, where does the average end up? And the contact skills aren't terrible, but they're not great either. And add in the aggressive approach, He's one where I just wonder if he's like a sub 250 hitter. So I guess I'll go Rodriguez. I did look at Varus as well, but there wasn't really a lot of options in this org at all. Like, and a lot of the other top guys, they got midseason when they kind of had that little mini fire sale when they acquired guys like, you know, Jake Etter, Nick Nastrini, and Edgar Cairo, guys like that. So this was a really tough org, but I guess Jose Rodriguez. But that was like one of my least favorite, you know, selections for the American League. I will go over to Cleveland, and this was another tough one. Now, Cleveland, in general, Cleveland is a very good org, but they've graduated a lot of their guys, you know, over the last couple of years, and some of their other top names just didn't really have great years. Where like they acquired Manzardo midseason, and obviously he didn't really have the greatest of years either. So, kind of going against what I've been doing with a lot of these other orgs, where these guys didn't play a lot. So I wasn't really wowed by anyone else. I mean, I looked at a guy like Jonathan Rodriguez, who had a pretty good year in the upper minors, 29 home runs in 565 plate appearances. He would have been a solid choice, but I'm just going to go with Chase the Ladder. I know he only went 242 plate appearances, but he hit 355 in those plate appearances. And, you know, the power speed blend is there. So this might be a little bit unconventional. You know, I was just like, Juan Brito, decent year. Didn't really wow me. Jason Chirio had solid average, stole some bags, didn't hit for really any power whatsoever. Maybe Rodriguez should have been the pick here because he actually played longer and did have a good year. He had 286 as well. But I guess I'll go Chase the Ladder. That was just not really one of their other options that wowed me. You know, on the pitching side, Cantillo had an okay year. You know, they didn't really have a lot of big years on the pitching side either. So, you know, Gavin Williams would have been a great one, but he's already graduated, so can't go with Gavin Williams, obviously. So, yeah, I guess I'm going with the Ladder. Who'd you go with?
Look, Juan Brito, who...
Okay, I think, that's a fine pick, yeah.
Yeah, I think Brito's a bit underrated. I've had my top 100. I actually put him back in there midsummer. I just really like what I've seen out of Brito. And, you know, he was starting high A and was good. He performed in double A, and he's had a small stint in triple A where, I mean, yeah, it's only been five games, but he's hitting 214 with a 450 OBP, but you're not going to put much stock into that five game sample of someone who just got pushed up to in the year there, just turned 22. I like Brito. That was tough. I mean, De Lauder, like I said, plays a full season, probably easily wins it if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be fun to see him in the AFL. I'm looking forward to that. That's sure. The only time that I really get to see some orgs like Cleveland players live. So looking forward to seeing De Lauder out there, as well as actually this guy who I'm going with from Detroit. May not be the conventional. I'm guessing it's probably not yours, but I took Justice Bigby as my Detroit minor league player of the year. He was phenomenal at three levels, 115 games, hit 343, 405 OBP, 537 slug, did hit just 19 home runs. But I will say that I think there's more juice in the bat that we haven't seen. He had 25 doubles. He even tacked in a triple in there. I think Bigby's bat is rather good. I think he's going to be one of the bigger performers in the AFL. And I just think he's got a chance to ultimately be in this Detroit lineup as early as opening day next year. If they decide they want to contend, why not? I mean, we're talking about someone who's 24 years old. He'll be 25 next year. Like, I'm not really sure what else you want to see out of him. He's a former 19th round pick who's just absolutely excelled in all facets of the game, showed good contact skills, hit the ball hard, and the results backed it too. So Justice Bigby was my pick. Even though there are probably better options, I went with Bigby just because it's unconventional, and I really like what he did, and I think he's a bit underrated.
Yeah, 100% he's underrated, and he was actually definitely in consideration here as well. And there's actually several guys that had just really good years, you know, guys that some other guys that I did not pick, a guy like, you know, Chase Young really came on, hit for a lot more power than I think anybody anticipated, had 28 home runs this year. I sure didn't see that coming. I didn't think he'd be like that big of a power guy. Justin Henry Molloy had a very good underrated year as well. 417 OBP, 25 doubles, 23 home runs, 83 walks. Solid year there. Parker Meadows went 22-26, you know, only hit 250, but decent year. And then Jackson Jobe on a pitching side, great year. Maybe if he pitched a little bit more, he'd be, you know, ahead of some of these other guys too. But Jackson Job, real quick, 84-6 K to walk ratio. That's just
crazy.
That's insane. Jackson Job is just so damn good. I can't wait till I get to see him next year, or maybe out in the AFL if it lines up that way. We'll see. But I did ultimately go, I know it's a boring one, but I went with Colt Keith. You know, hit 306, 380, 552, 38 doubles, 27 home runs, you know, trio of steals, walk rate over 10%, kept the K rate in check as well, 21% there. You know, obviously, this is one of the best blends of hit and power in the minor leagues. You know, guys, a top 10 caliber prospect, definitely in that second tier of prospects in my overall ranking. So I know it's boring, but I'll go with Keith. But yeah, absolutely echo everything you said about Justice Bigby. Very, very good year, and probably one of the more underrated kind of targets in dynasty leagues, that's for sure. All right, moving over here. Let's see who's, I got the wrong document up. Here we go. Who's next here? Houston. This was a tough one. I had this down to two players here. Both are very deserving, but I'm ultimately going to go with Jacob Melton here over another outfielder. I wonder if you'll go that way. I went back and forth on this a bunch of times, both pretty equal. But, you know, Melton finished the year in just 450 plate appearances, 23 home runs and 46 steals. You know, he was doing this in college at Oregon as well. This guy, big power speed blend guy. And even though he only hit 245 this year, you know, it's not really a swing and miss issue. K rate was 22%. That's pretty solid. That's actually right around league average. So it's more so just like a making contact issue with Melton, but you can't deny the power speed blend. Yeah, he's been a little old for the levels at 23, but if he can just make enough contact here to even just hit, you know, like 250, I think that'll allow the power speed to really play up, because you're looking at his contact rate. It was actually 75% in high A. It dipped in double A, but he wasn't there for too long. So if he makes enough contact, this could be kind of like a sneaky good fantasy guy. So I will go there. You know, this, you know, Zach DiCenzo, another great option as well. Like, there's a lot of good options in the system. You know, DiCenzo was a very good year. Joey Loperfido, great year. So it was really hard between those three, but I will go with Jacob Melton.
Yeah, that's who I ultimately took as well. I think Melton, and it's funny, I saw Melton six or seven times this year, and honestly, like, he wasn't even great, but there was just so much to like about the profile,
right?
From the body to the swing speed, like everything. I mean, he plays a great center field too, and you kind of hit on all those. I think he can make enough contact. Like, he has a 76% contact rate this year, which certainly seems that he would have better batting average than 245 for the year, but you know, at the end of the day, like, that stuff can come and go. Like, there's power, there's speed. He's a great athlete. So I'll bet on that. And, you know, they did trade. Like, Drew Gilbert probably would have been the choice if he hadn't been traded.
Right.
But they had a lot of guys that had good years, but it was Jacob Melton for me as well. This org was not, well, I will say it was not as hard as Houston. Houston was hard to pick. This one was hard to pick because there was not many options.
Yeah, it was hard for different reasons.
Yeah. So I get to cover this org at the lowest levels, and no offense to Columbia's team, but it was one of the worst, like, I've seen until the draft guys came in. They had a bunch of college guys come in at the end of the year. Kansas City, it was a rough year all around, like, from the major league level down,
I mean,
to every level of the minors.
Like, outside of Bobby Witt going wild, you know, obviously the Vinny P got hurt.
And getting Cole Reagans.
Getting Cole Reagans and then Bobby Witt doing what he did. That's basically the two bright spots. Obviously, Vinny P got hurt. Brady Singer regressed. Minor leagues aren't that great. Yeah, it's been a rough year for them.
Yeah, so it was a tough choice. And I ultimately went with the pitcher. This is our first pitcher off the board here. And I went with Mason Barnett out of Auburn. I think Barnett's a kind of sneaky underrated pitcher. He's a third rounder in the 2022 draft. So last summer, didn't get a lot of fanfare or buzz at all, but he had a pretty good year overall between high A and double A. I did not get to see him this year and didn't get to see him last. He was only in Columbia for one start last year. So I never got to see him there. I missed that. He was on the road, but so I've never seen this guy pitch other than on video, but he had a successful year, 114 two-thirds innings. He had a 3.30 ERA, 137 Ks to 50 walks. So overall, it's pretty solid. Like, Barnett, he's probably like a top 250 to 300 overall prospect for me. There's just not a lot going on in this system, unfortunately. And yeah, it was a tough choice for me to take Mason Barnett, but he was, in my opinion, the best player in this org.
Yeah, dude, he was one of the two I was considering. I was very much on the fence. I ended up going over to the hitting side, and I don't even like this pick at all. But it's, I went with Caden Wallace. Like, I don't like it. He had an okay year, 13 home runs, 18 steals, 254, 331, 414. That's what we're working with here. It was down between him and Mason Barnett for me as well. And I had a feeling, I know you always kind of liked Barnett at least a little bit, so I had a feeling you were going to go Barnett way. So yeah, I guess I'll go Wallace. I mean, Blake Mitchell didn't play enough, obviously, and he didn't really do well anyway when he was playing. Though you see Blake Mitchell's line this year. It's one of the weirdest slash lines you'll ever see. It was only 52 plate appearances, but 147, 423, 176. It's just very weird slash line. I mean, Nick Lofton had an okay year. Yeah. He was kind of in consideration too. Gavin Cross went 1223, but only hit 203 with the 298 OBP, striking out too much. This everyone else, like Tyler Gentry was okay. Austin Charles had some buzz around him, but overall, like, didn't have like a great year. It was okay. Caderna and Mazzucato were both kind of meh overall, very up and down. You know, David Sandlin, you know, had an okay year, didn't pitch a ton. Noah Cameron fell off. So yeah, just a not a good org overall. But so yeah, so I guess we're going with, it's probably like the least expiring duo so far, Mason Barnett and Caden Wallace for the Kansas City Royals.
Yep.
Going over to the, oh, the Angels.
Is this one much better?
No, no, not really. But you know, there was one player that did have actually a phenomenal offensive year. I mean, some other guys like, you know, Caden Dana had a decent year. Jorge Machado, and some of the younger guys like Nelson Rada and those types. But I ultimately went with the guy that was the oldest one on the list. I went with Trey Cabbage. The dude went 30-30 in the minor leagues. I mean, 31 home runs, 33 steals. You know, I struggle to kind of figure out how I project him long-term. Obviously, these older prospects, he's 26. So got to wonder, like, first off, A, how does he fit into their long-term plans? The Angels, I don't think they know what the hell they're doing. No. His contact rates were not good. Now, the power's absolutely there. Like, he had really good power metrics, but I just got to wonder where the average falls with him. So maybe he's more of like a fourth outfielder, platoon guy. I don't know. But for this, again, with this org not having a lot of firepower all around, I ended up going with, you know, Trey Cabbage. Who'd you go with?
I took Caden Dana. Went with the pitcher there as well. I thought, yeah, I mean, honestly, like, Cabbage had that year where he probably deserved it. Like, I probably should have just gone with him. But I do have, and this is not related to the performance, but I have questions about, like you said, how does he project? He doesn't make contact. Like, he chases a lot. Like, he's pretty toolsy, obviously, when 30-30. So that's a lot of fun. He hits the ball very hard. But at the end of the day, I took Dana, who I think is still an underrated arm, have him in my top 150. He finished the year on a pretty strong note, had some good performances down the stretch. He did just pitch 68 innings, so that was the knock on him, but he struck out 89 and had a 3.56 ERA. So I went with Caden Dana, who I think does take a big step forward next year. He was an 11th rounder in 2022 draft. So yeah, that was two pretty rough ones. The good news is it gets better here because this org, Minnesota, certainly has a lot more going for them than either of those. And for me, that was Emmanuel Rodriguez. And, you know, I think that some people look and think that Emmanuel Rodriguez may have had a disappointing season. If you just look at the surface numbers, you probably would be like, eh, like, whatever. And that's fair. I think the expectations were like through the roof coming into this year. Many thought that he could be like a top 10 prospect, but he still performed. Like, this is an incredible athlete. He scorches baseballs. And so he had the second highest 90th percentile exit velocity of anybody 20 years or under, over 109 miles an hour. I think Caminero was the only one higher than him. And while he hit just 240, he got on base 40% of the time. He had a 400 OBP. He had a 463 slug. He had 16 home runs, 13 doubles, 9 triples in 455 plate appearances. He also stole 20 bags. I mentioned very good athlete, but he finished the season on a heater when he came back. Like, he came back in mid to late August, and he did some serious damage. Over the final 150 at-bats, he slashed 287, 444, 553, had 6 home runs, 7 triples, and 8 doubles over that span. He also had 3 home runns in the Midwest Championship League, or the series, in 3 games. So I am all about some Emmanuel Rodriguez. I think he's a good buy, especially if somebody's down on him. And then in that case, I would certainly buy everywhere I could.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, couldn't say that better myself. I went with Rodriguez as well. I looked at Brooks Lee. I think that was actually pretty close between the two of them. I think Walker Jenkins absolutely would have gotten this conversation if he had more than 115 plate appearances. So it came down to Lee and Rodriguez for me as well. But yeah, I went with Rodriguez. The way he finished the year, like you mentioned, and the fact that he can run a lot more than Lee does, and he gets on base. 400 clip right now, obviously, even with a down year, you know, quote unquote, a down year. I think most people would say he had a down year, still had a 400 OBP. So I went with Rodriguez as well, just by a hair over Brooks Lee. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back and finish out the AL.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, welcome back from the break. We got, what, 6 teams left. We got Yankees, Oakland, Seattle, Tampa, Texas, and Toronto. So it does get better. A lot of the rough teams we already got out of the way. Most of these are much better teams. With the Yankees here, this one was very tough. There's a lot of deserving players for the Yankees here, a lot of which, actually most of which, were all up in Double-A or higher, at least at one point or another this season. And I narrowed it down to one hitter and one pitcher. I'm actually going to go to the pitching side here. I'm going to go with Drew Thorpe. You know, he had a phenomenal year, 139 in the third innings, 252 ERA, 0.98 whip, led the minor leagues in strikeouts, 182, 38 walks, again, in 139 in the third innings. Saw him, you know, live, and he was just very, very impressive. One of those guys where the fastball does, you know, the velocity doesn't blow you away. He's 91, 92, topped out at 93, but there's decent shape to it, commands it well. You know, slider, you know, he can miss bats with that. And then the changeup is just one of the best changeups in all of baseball. It's a phenomenal changeup. There's depth, there's fade, commands it extremely well. He can land it for strikes. He can get batters to chase it outside the zone. You know, that was a pitch that he was just going to all the time. Any count, any handed batter, didn't matter. I love to see that. And so the effectiveness of those secondaries, along with his command over his entire arsenal, you know, helps that fastball play, higher, better than it should, given the velocity. So it was tough between him and, you know, a couple of these hitters, but I will go Drew Thorpe here for the Yankees.
Yeah, I think it was hard to take anybody other than Thorpe, who I think has probably had the best season of any minor league pitcher. You mentioned the numbers. And while I think the Arsenal may have some questions of how it plays as he moves up, you can't deny the performance at the end of the day.
Right.
And the system was loaded. The system, much like some of the other ones we mentioned, like Baltimore, would have had plenty of guys that could have won in on other orgs, like this next one we'll mention. But ultimately, I think Thorpe's performance just gives him so much deserving love here, where he is definitely was the most valuable player in that Yankees pretty stacked farm system. And it's a good system too. I really like
right.
it.
Like look at some of the names he beat out, like on the, you know, obviously Chase Hampton had a great year on the pitching side as well. And so did Richard Fitz, but look at the hitters, obviously Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, you know, Prayer had a solid year, kind of fizzled a little bit at the end. And then you can't overlook what Ben Rice did. And only 300, if Ben Rice maybe he had another 100, even just 100 more plate appearances, it probably is Ben Rice. He hit 324, 434, 615, 20 home runs, 11 steals, and just 332 plate appearances. The dude, like, in my live looks, he absolutely mashed. So maybe I'm kind of wondering if I should have gone with Ben Rice, but no, you know, Drew Thorpe had the great year, obviously, but yeah, so many players had really good years in this Yankees org.
For sure. So definitely a really good one. And I want to take Ben Rice just for the fun story, but
I almost did, dude. I was, it was so tough. Like, Jason's worthy, you know, Spencer Jones came back at second half of the year, did better. Obviously Chase Hampton. This is so many good players in this org. It's tough. And I hate that I love so many prospects in the Yankees or being a Red Sox fan, but this is a fun system top to bottom. Like, all these guys at the top, a lot of the guys, you know, in the lower levels as well. A lot of fun players in this org for sure.
Yeah, definitely. This org, not so much. So we go to Oakland. I took Daryl Hernández with my pick. Hernández had a pretty good year. He played 130 games. He slashed 321, 386, 456. So it wasn't like a wow you type year, but I do think he was the most consistent and the most valuable in this org. He doesn't have the most power in the world, but he's going to get on base. I mean, he hit 9 home runs, but he had 32 doubles and 4 triples. So, like, I'm not sure he's going to have a massive fantasy impact at the next level, but he stole 13 bases. It's like a, I don't know what I'd comp him to, but he makes good contact, like really good contact rates this year, near 80%, which is awesome to see. Got on base a lot. Want to see more power, but this was a tough org. There were slim pickings. And I think Daryl Hernández was the best of those.
Can I just pass on this? Like, I don't want to make a pick. I mean, I looked at a Lawrence Butler who has some questions about his game, but he did almost have a 2020 year. I had to look that way a little bit. You know, Daniel Cusack hit 300, didn't hit for a lot of power though. So yeah, I and Clark was another one. He had 12 home runs, 11 steals, but only had 286 plate appearances. Looked at him. Mason Miller obviously had a really good year, but only pitched 50 and 2/3 innings. I mean, so I ended up going right where he went. I went with Hernández as well. And like you mentioned, like, you know, the profile isn't sexy. The upside isn't like lofty, but he's probably the best bet out of this current crop of, at least on the hitting side, to have, you know, at least some major league value. I mean, you could probably name 3-4 guys, maybe even more, have higher upside for fantasy than he does, you know, like Butler and Clark, etc. But I think he's the safest bet and the best pure hitter of this bunch. So yeah, I will go with Hernández as well, even though, again, this is one of the, you know, not great orgs to talk about, but luckily they're division rival in the NL. I don't know if they're rivals, but they're you know, another NL West team, we'll say. I mean, who's really rivals with Oakland these days? But another NL West org, much better farm system. Another one that had a lot of deserving candidates, and that is the Seattle Mariners. I mean, mostly on the pitching side here. I mean, actually, I mean, the hitting side, where all the options were. I mean, looked at a guy like Alberto Rodriguez. He had a pretty good year, especially in the second half of the year. I wanted to go with Ryan Bliss, but he came over. Like kind of like the Thomas Segazi thing, where he had a really good year, went 23-55, but he was most of the year, like 2/3 of it, was spent in the Arizona org. So didn't go that way. Really wanted to go Lazaro Montes. Really wanted. I love Montes. The dude is an absolute beast. Gabriel Gonzalez, Harry Ford, Cole Young. But ultimately, I settled for fantasy purposes on Jonathan Clase. Definitely has contact and swing and miss concerns, 100%. And those are concerning and got exposed as he moved up the ladder. But he still ended up with 20 home runs and 79 steals. So, you know, obviously, there's, you know, the solid pop in the bat long term. There's, you know, all the speed in the world to be, you know, a massive stolen base guy. He's got to make enough contact and keep that K rate in check. That was his issues. He did curb it to a degree, you know, ended at about 27.5%. Which, not great, but not terrible either. Still have a lot of concerns about him, but 2079, you know, so I went with Jonathan Clase. Who'd you go with?
I took Clase as well. I thought there you go. His season was so special, even though he declined. Like, yeah, I mean, he was super hot to start the year and tailed off a bit. But it's hard to argue against the results when you hit 20 home runs and you steal 79 bases.
Exactly, dude. Like that's kind of like what's my line of thinking as well.
Yeah, I mean, he still got on base 35% of the time as a 353 OBP, which is pretty impressive there. And he had plenty of doubles. He had 8 triples. Like, overall, really good year. Don't care if he was in a super hitter-friendly environment. Like, at the end of the day, Class A just performed. And from a fantasy, we're doing this from a fantasy perspective, he has to be the MVP for this org, in my opinion. I mean,
it's so funny. Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, though, quick, and you know, Tyler Locklear, if he didn't miss a little bit of time, he would be in consideration as well. How many players do you think from this org you would take over like Hernández for the Oakland? Like, if any of these guys, I think I'd go Cole Young over Hernández, Harry Ford, Gabriel Gonzalez, probably Michael, maybe not Michael Roy, he didn't play enough. Classe, obviously, Locklear, Montez, Bliss, Adalberto Rodriguez, probably even Luis Susabel. Like, that's 9 guys I would take over anybody in Oakland for this, just for this, like, this award.
Yeah, it's wild. There's so many talented prospects in this system, so I'm well on board with that. It's a lot of fun. And obviously now we get to what I think is probably would be as consensus of any org as Baltimore was, even though Baltimore was much more stacked than this org. Tampa Bay, Junior Caminero, he's in a freak of nature, what he's doing. I mean, he gets some of the easiest power in the game. He smokes the ball, like he hits the ball as hard as almost everybody in the major leagues. Like, I mean, his 9th percentile was like 110.5, like, which is like Ronald Acuna range, trails like Judge, Stanton, like those elite power hitters. Just absurd. But in the minors this year, he hit 324 with 31 home runs, 18 doubles, 6 triples, had a 591 slug. Super impressive season for a 20-year-old. The power's insane. Like, he makes enough contact. We've already seen him up in the majors, 4 games, hitting the ball super hard. Like, I don't care he's hitting 158 in 20 plate appearances. Dude's posted a 112 EV already. I mean, he obliterated the Green Monster the other night for a double. Like, the dude is going to be very, very good for a long time. And so I just really don't think there's any other option here, even though the system is fun. But Junior Caminero is the guy.
Yeah, and he just reminds me so much as like a right-handed Rafael Devers, which is, from a Red Sox fan, like, that's super high praise. Yeah, this is a guy that, if he was in Boston, you know, this is a guy he'd be putting he's going to do it as a division rival. Like, he's going to be putting somebody dense in that monster with how hard he hits the ball. Yeah, probably the best blend. Would you agree with that, Chris? Best blend of hit and power in the minor, or any prospect right now?
I mean, definitely the power. The hit, I would say it's like an average feel to hit. So, yeah, between the two, though, like, he's certainly up there.
Maybe Langford.
Yeah, Langford's
up there.
So are you, like, those guys are just very, very good. But you think about the high-end power, and it's not even close, like, between Caminero and Holiday. Yeah. And, like, I think people are questioning, like, obviously, you know, is Caminero better than Holiday? Holiday has the contact skills, sure. But we're talking an 8-mile-an-hour difference in your 9th percentile exit velocity. That's a massive gap.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
Big power there. But, yeah, I think that's a fair argument. I think you could argue Langford, too. I think Langford's pretty special when it comes to hit and power. So I don't mind that one at all, actually.
Right. No, absolutely. And then going back to, you know, Caminero over his Holiday, it's almost like, all right, do you prefer 70, 80 hit tool and 50 power, or, you know, 50 hit tool and 70, 80 power? You know, and obviously Holiday will run a bit more, but Caminero will probably provide you more RBI and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's so fun to debate all these top guys because they're all pretty different, you know, like, there's not like two profiles that are like really similar out of like all these like top 5 or 6 in this top tier. So it's really fun to debate these guys because there's really no wrong answer. You know, you can go Caminero, you can go Holiday, Langford, you know, Jordan Lawler, Jackson Churio, you know, even Dylan Cruz, even though he fell off a little bit end of the year, but such a really fun, you know, top tier of prospects right now. So yeah, obviously, you know, obviously I'm going Caminero as well. You know, I'll just do, you know, quick shout out to, you know, like an Austin Shenton who had a really good year. As well, 304, 45 doubles, 29 home runs. I think he's still getting very underrated. Xavier Isaac had a really good year as well. Curtis Meade, solid year. Carson Williams, solid year. So kind of just some shout outs there. Williams went 23-20 in 503 plate appearances. But yeah, it's obviously got to go Junior Caballero here. And we got two more teams left here going over to Texas. And Texas was hard for me. I mean, like, there's an easy, it would have been Sajazy if he didn't get traded. I think we can all go with that. But at the same time, I wanted to go with Wyatt Langford really, really, really badly, but he only had 200 plate appearances. So I held off on going with him. You know, Ortiz had a phenomenal year as well. You know, 33 home runs, he had 294. He was another hard omission here, or hard guy to go against. But I ended up going, looking for fantasy, I went with Evan Carter, hit 291, 415, 479, had 20 doubles, 7 triples, 18 home runs, 29 steals. I still think there's more power in the tank. He started showing that a bit here in the major leagues. So I think just that blend of, you know, solid contact, great OBP skills. And I think the power, again, still can tick up from where it is now. Like, he keeps the K rate in check, steals some bags. So I had to go with him. Again, it was tough to go against Langford. If Langford even had like 150 or so more plate appearances, probably go with him, because he had a 199 WRC plus this year to minors, which led the minor leagues by a decent little gap there. I think second was, it might have been Samuel Basalo, who was at like 186 or something like that, somewhere in that range. So yeah, hard to go, you know, not go with Langford, and hard to go against, you know, Evan Malik Ortiz. But yep, I went with Evan Carter. Who'd you go with?
I ultimately took Abimelech Ortiz.
There you go. Yeah.
Good had choice. A very good year. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he had 33 homers, hit 294 with a 371 OBP and 619 slug over 109 games. Ton of homers, 20 doubles, 4 triples. Very, very good year there. So our last team is Toronto. And I was going to take Davis Schneider, but I realized he just eclipsed the plate appearance limit. He's at 135. So would he still be eligible then? Let's see at bats. Like,
I don't think he's graduated yet.
Okay. I was just looking at his page and I was like, crap. Like we said, nobody that had graduated. He's at 135 plate appearances and 111 AB. So he should be fine, because it's 130 AB. So yeah, I'm going to take Davis Schneider. I think had a really, really underrated year. He was pretty good in AAA. Very good in AAA, actually, in which he hit 21 homers. He had a 275 average with 416 OBP. So was on base a ton in AAA. And then he got called up, and then kind of out of nowhere, seemingly at least, he really took off. I mean, he's been an incredible story this year in the majors. And I think that the system's got a lot of fun names. Like, I could have gone Orelvis Martinez, like, there's several others that I think you could have gone with, but Davis Schneider is just a great story. And to wrap up the show, what a better one to go with. Davis Schneider for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, I end up going with Schneider as well. Almost went with Aurelvis. I kind of did forget about Schneider at first as well. But, you know, Aurelvis, you know, obviously I've been very critical about Aurelvis, and I still have my questions about him. But he did get better as season went on, though. He did end the season on a little bit more of a down note, but did make some improvements along the way, so I'm not quite as down on him as I used to be. And he ended with 28 home runs. Still have some concerns with the contact skills. Obviously, you know, he needs to have, you know, hit for a decent enough average, because he's not going to provide any speed at all. And he had 2 steals this year. That's not a part of his game, but power's there, and the contact skills definitely took a little bit of a step forward as well. But yeah, ultimately, I went with Davis Schneider. But yeah, that is going to round out the show here. These were kind of 2 fun episodes to round out the season. Hope everyone enjoyed them. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at RotoClegg, at EricCross04, at ToolshedPod. You know, go check out my Patreon, Chris's Substack, where all our rankings will live, and all of our off-season content. We'll be doing a lot of stuff over there. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Yeah. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.